Yeah.
You ready for this journey?
For this podcast?
Yeah.
This journey?
Yeah.
We have started our Taika journey.
Taika journey. I'm
Taika time.
I'm really excited to talk to you about this movie because you've never seen it.
You had seen every Taika movie before I saw every Taika movie.
Wow. That's true. No, you had got Boy on me.
I know,
you got
but
a bunch
I mean, like,
stuff.
You did.
Tonight?
You had completed his filmography.
I actually had.
Before I had.
Wow. As soon as I saw Jojo Rabbit, I was like, done.
Yep. You checked them all off.
Caught up. Well, let's just dive in, dude. Let's get Sir Giles out.
Already?
Wait. Nope. I'm getting ahead of myself.
What the podcast is.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 500 Greatest Films Podcast, Quarantine Edition. Keller Knobloch and I are stuck in this house.
Yep.
We have been for months.
We won't leave.
We will continue to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So we started a new series of movies for just Keller and I to watch. And
we
for
are
you
now
two,
on our fifth series.
Yes. What's our first four?
First four, we started with Mission Impossible.
Bum, 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 bum.
Went on to Wessie Andy, who definitely had an influence on this film.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to, I almost said Shrek, but that's for sure not it. It's just always on the mind.
Uh-huh.
And then we went on to, not Fast and the Furious.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah, Fast and the Furious.
That's right.
And then we went on to 007.
That's right.
The Daniel Craig
dun,
years.
Dun, dun, dun. No, that's a Mission Impossible theme.
Yep.
What's Hey, tell everybody what I got in the mail today.
In the last week or so, Hector just finished reading Casino Royale.
Yep.
Ian Fleming's first James Bond.
Yeah.
First Jimmy Bond novel.
From like 1952 or something?
Yeah, great year for being a man. And then he decided he loved misogyny and racism so much that he was going to get the other 13 books.
Yeah, you know what they say. I had an interesting experience reading that book. It was real up and down. And I'll be honest, the first episode of Lovecraft Country and reading that book has almost influenced my decision into how much I was going to get into it, because there is blatant misogyny, like really bad.
But
there
it's like
is
that
flat out
he
racism.
Says,
oh my god,
it's so good.
And it's like, we love stories like we love people. Like, you know, they're not perfect.
You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, yeah. And
especially
I,
when
yeah,
there's so little to, I don't know, like choose from.
Yeah,
back then,
of course. And not just that. I mean, look, man.
What's widespread?
Everybody has different lines. And there is, for everything, for every type
like
of art.
J.K. Rowling's not getting any more of my money.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And that's fair.
Neither is Chick-fil-A for me.
Neither is Chick-fil-A.
And that's fair.
And
you know?
As soon as they team up,
those are my
that's going to be bad news.
Those are my hard lines.
Yeah.
And for me, reading the James Bond novel, it was similar to like John Carter of Mars or any old problematic thing. Where I read it and I
it's
went...
It's like reading comic books from the 50s.
Yeah, absolutely. And I read it and I feel like as I was reading it, I was using my imagination or letting my own feelings about it like erase stuff that I was like, no, I'm leaving this behind. Like, this is bullshit. But the rest of the stuff is very interesting and
especially
cool.
Especially if you just saw the movie like
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're seeing what they took.
Yep.
And realizing, yep. Oh shit, this shit was actually in the book.
And I know that I'm not, it's the same thing with Harry Potter and JK, because I feel like a lot of people who are torn about their feelings right now, I feel like a lot of people and young people are looking at everybody else and going, well, I'm not alone in feeling awful about this. I'm not alone. Like, I have so many people next to me who are also like, JK, you're out of your fucking mind. What the hell's the matter with you? We're leaving you behind.
Well, here's
bye.
The deal. The entire cast even of her movies
I know.
Are just like,
where they're like,
nuts.
Where they're like, trans lives are lives. Yeah. Trans women are women, like all of that stuff. So yeah, that's gotta be a huge, like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm not trying to like swim upstream, you know, fight a losing battle. And me reading a James Bond book from a guy who died, he's not like still publishing stuff.
No.
Who has no influence or say at all. Mm-mm. Who decades.
It's all to
decades,
the Broccoli's now.
Yeah. Who decades after their stuff, like I can look at Casino Royale, the movie, and Skyfall and things with
and
Daniel Craig in
bang,
it.
Bang.
And Chitty Bang Bang. But I can look at that stuff and go, yeah, this is the new These are the people who hold James Bond now, not this
guy. We have to watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang now.
I know, I want to, because it was written by Ian Fleming, which is wild. So, and anyway,
Roald Dahl.
It was a very interesting past couple of weeks with how me as a brown dude, how am I going to wrestle with, like, how am I going to read stuff that is, that didn't have me in mind.
And it's just, you know? Like, oh, you like reading everything that came out for the last 100 billion years.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And I'll continue to do that. Anyway, I ordered all the James Bond novels.
Yep. He has every one of them.
And they look cool.
And they even are going to get a spot on your bookshelf before you've even read them.
No, I'm not going to put them on there until I read them.
One at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how I do it.
Okay.
That's how I do it.
That's kind of how you do it.
That's how I do it.
You just do.
I just have a shelf of red, and then everything else is like, bleh, like, got to get to it. But I got a bunch of stuff to read right now. And so that's our little James Bond story. But now we're in our fifth series.
Yep.
Fifth of a planned 8 series of movies.
Planned 8.
And my name is Hector Navarro. Like I said at the beginning, to my left is my buddy, Mr. Keller Knobloch. Say hi, Keller.
Hey, Hector.
And I need you to bring out Sir Giles, because I want to get into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first of the movies directed by Taika Waititi. And there's going to be a lot to talk about, but I have one thing that I think, like, one strong opinion about this movie overall that I am going to...
I'm scared of it.
...reveal as soon
just
as you...
Just the fact that you
as soon
are
as
just
Sir
like,
Giles, as soon like, as Sir Giles... Yeah.
Yeah. You're coming in with a strong opinion.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're making it known before we even get there.
Yeah, before we even get there.
Yeah.
So but I'm excited, man, because...
a lot of lead up.
Because watching this tonight, seeing Taika's face in those pictures of the character he played...
That hair was great. And
I mean,
want to know if it was real.
We're in for a good time, dude. We're in for a good time. So, Sir Giles, come on in, buddy. Why don't you go ahead and give us the honor of please reading this little blurb from Rotten Tomatoes as you would have for
they're
the five...
They're being way nicer five, than you usually are.
I know. Well,
he deserves it.
I'm feeling.
Honestly.
Yeah. We went through...
What we pay him?
Yeah, exactly.
He deserves it.
We went through the James Bond movies. You know, he was stoked on that, and now we're into Taika.
We did that for him.
We did it for him?
Mm-hmm. We were going to let him get a vote as to what the series of movies should be, but...
Everything was like...
Yeah.
He was like, Taylor Soldier Spy. We're like, get out of here,
dude,
Sir Giles.
No. We're not going to watch every movie where they whisper in British accents.
He just wanted to watch the King's Speech again. I said, get out of here, Giles.
Yeah, not going to do it.
You old fart. Anyway.
I love Colin Firth.
Every Colin Firth movie. Get out of here, Sir Giles. Kingsman's my
favorite. And Prejudice.
Atonement.
Get out of here, Keira Knightley.
Director. Well, Giles, tell us and tell the folks at home what movie we're talking about tonight. Go.
Eagle vs. Shark, 2007, director Taika David Cohen Waititi. Though there are frequent moments of wit and a mordant humor, Eagle vs. Shark needs more to distinguish itself from other precious Napoleon Dynamite hyphen ish comedies.
Frequent? Get out of here, Sir Giles. You stupid idiot.
Sorry, guys, talking shit.
All right. Don't disagree with that Rotten Tomatoes write-up where it was like, it's. I think it's something that's unavoidable. You watch the movie and you can't help but think of 2004's Napoleon Dynamite.
3 years earlier.
3 years earlier for a bunch of different reasons. I mean, look, we saw, remember, what's his face? Peter Jackson, another New Zealand director.
Mm-hmm.
His first movie, his
bad
first
taste.
Bad taste, low budget, out of control. Like, I'm now used to seeing low budget movies shot in New Zealand at this point. I'm used to it.
And I like it.
I prefer Eagle versus Shark to Bad Taste by far.
Oh, definitely.
Because I think that I don't know what the circumstances are for director and filmmaker Taika Waititi to do to, like, up to this point. I know he did a short film that we're going to talk about next week because it has to do with the movie Boy.
That's why,
right?
Yeah, you guys are about to watch it. I was like, actually.
So I don't know what his film career is up to this point, but he gets to do Eagle versus Shark. We watched it. It's very clearly like low budget indie comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's great. That's smart. I prefer this genre for low budget movies than like horror to low budget. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like,
it depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's well done.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Sometimes.
But we've seen a lot
we've
of stinkers
tough.
in our day.
In our day out on the streets.
I know people really liked It Follows. I didn't like it. Remember?
I didn't like
that?
It Follows either.
Yeah,
I just don't think it probably ages well.
Maybe it was like when it came out, everyone was
and that
like, ooh,
is kind
sex.
Of a problem this movie has too.
Yeah.
It doesn't age super well. Here, let's get into it. Let's Hector, get into overall it. Thoughts. You first.
Here's my strong opinion overall thought.
Wait.
I'm pretty, can you guess what I'm about to say?
I'm scared.
I am pretty confident, like 90%.
This is your least favorite Taika Waititi 90%. Movie. Is that
it.
What it was?
You got it.
That was going to be my strong opinion. And all of, it's not a strong opinion. It's like, oh wait, his first movie wasn't his
correct.
Best?
It's to me, it's the same as Wes Anderson Bottle Rocket.
And also it's incredible to see how much he improves each time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking forward to it. I'm glad we're doing another director's series. But I did have the same thoughts watching this that that I did with Bottle Rocket. But I'll give you this. I liked Bottle Rocket more when we watched it than the first time I had seen it. And I like this probably about the same, maybe a little bit more than the Eagle versus Shark than the first time I saw Eagle versus Shark. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Like, yeah. I think I saw this when I was working at Blockbuster Video.
Which that
I
makes sense.
I was there from like 07 to 09 or something. I think. I stopped working there in 2009.
We'll never know.
So this had come out on DVD, and I think a coworker recommended it. And I was like, okay, just based off of Flight of the Conchords.
You love sharks.
Jermaine Clement.
Were you a fan of Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. When did they premiere stateside? Like, wasn't it like 2004 or something? Like, they were pretty like, you know, they were on HBO and shit. Like, it was a big deal. Yeah. So
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Watched it. No, I remember. Sorry.
Elsewhere.
Okay, and you've seen it all at this point?
Yeah.
Okay, and Taika did episodes of that, didn't he?
I think like one or two.
One or two. At this point, when I saw it for the first time, I remember feeling like it was fine. It was low budget, not my favorite, and pretty. And
but
then
now
like,
you know more.
Oh, it was different. It was definitely different watching it now because as you're watching it, you're going, damn, this dude directed a Marvel movie. This is wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like you're thinking about like, damn, this guy's done like TV shows and stuff. And I'm more familiar with Taika's humor and I'm more familiar with Taika's heart in things like Boy and Jojo Rabbit, where I'm like, I can see seeds of that here.
You can see it in this.
And it's hit and miss, but it's in there.
It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's basically my overall strongest opinion thought is like watching this tonight, I'm pretty sure it's going to be my lowest ranked Taika Waititi movie.
Yeah, I know for a fact it will be. And
all the rest
honestly,
of them are great.
If you rank Boy lower than this, I'll fight you.
I know. I can't.
I'll fight you with both of my fists.
Yeah. And Boy is his next movie.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I remember I didn't see a movie of his until I think it was What We Do in the Shadows. And then that came out and I was like, this is fucking hysterical. This dude's awesome. And then Hunt for the Wilder People was
like,
off of that.
This is a guy from
momentum.
Green Lantern?
Yeah. I think I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
But Hunt for the Wilder People was going off of the momentum of What We Do in the Shadows. And I was like, this is great too, but more heart. And then that dude got Thor. And I can't recall, because I know when Ryan Coogler was announced for Black Panther for Marvel movies, just talk about Marvel movies for a second because I'm a huge fan. When Ryan Coogler was announced, I was like, I loved Creed so hard that I went, it's the perfect guy to do it. And he did Fruitvale. I'm like, this is perfect, perfect, perfect. When, let me try and think. I don't know. When the Russo brothers got announced, I was like, I didn't watch Community, so I didn't know.
That was different.
It was different.
What
other big sort of directors? Oh, I guess when James Gunn got announced, I don't know. I was like,
I didn't know anything much
I didn't
about
know.
James Gunn.
Yeah.
So.
I think Taika and Ryan Coogler were the most hyped directors for me.
But even Taika, it was like, what?
For sure.
As soon as I heard it, I was pumped as fuck.
What I think I'm trying to recall
is
like...
How does he come
off
of Kenneth Branagh nonsense?
Yeah. What I'm trying to recall is like...
No offense to Kenneth.
How I felt about Taika Waititi getting Thor. Was I like for it or was I like... I must have been because I think I had seen...
You'd seen Hunt for the Wilder People.
What we were doing the Shadows on Hunt for the Wilder People. And...
I think you were skeptical,
But when he did Hunt for the Wilder People, I think I was already like, oh, dude, I hope they have Thor 3. And it being called Thor Ragnarok, I thought, going to the comic book lore, all the Asgardians are going to die. But in the Marvel comic books, that's happened before. And then at one point, Thor, because Odin died... inherits his power, and Odin has something called the Odin Force, or like the Odin power. Mm-hmm. And with that, he was able to resurrect all the Asgardians. But then when he brought everybody back, he brought Loki back as instead of a full-grown adult,
a child,
13-year-old kid. So my brain was going, ooh, they're doing that for Thor 3. Mm-hmm. But they just got the guy who just did that with a cute little New Zealand kid and a curmudgeon-y old man, Sam Neill. This is going to be great, except it's going to be Thor and Loki. They haven't done that.
Nope, they did Planet Hulk instead.
Yeah. So anyway, those are my overall thoughts. Keller, what are your overall thoughts? You've never seen Eagle versus Shark.
No.
What'd you think?
It is hard to remove Jermaine from his part.
Yes.
Just because I've seen him in so much stuff before this.
Men in Black 3.
Men in Black 3. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's immediately what I thought of.
Agent K.
First thing he was... Yeah, that was the big...
Yeah.
Memorable?
Yeah, memorable moment.
When was he in that?
2000...
When did that movie come out? Is that the one with Josh Brolin?
The 2012 or 2013? Yeah.
Wow.
It's the one with Josh Brolin as a young Agent K, who was incredible in that role.
He did great.
But that movie's bad.
It's so bad.
But Josh Brolin's maybe the best thing about
it. I bet Jermaine did a great job.
What's his name? The little funny homie. The amazing little actor who plays a college professor dad in every movie now. You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
He's in Call Me By Your Name, and he's
Stuhlbarg.
Stuhlbarg?
Yeah.
Stuhlbarg? Stuhlbarg?
Michael Stuhlbarg.
Michael Stuhlbarg?
Yeah.
He was hilarious in Men in Black 3.
I don't remember him in
that. He was a little alien that had a hat on that was like super wide-eyed and like...
Really?
Like, yeah, and he said little funny things. Maybe. He's also great.
He does bring something to every... He is the best part of every movie he's in.
Every movie he's in.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
And even Doctor Strange, the best part of the...
He's in Doctor Strange?
Yeah, dude.
Man, I blocked out.
He plays Nicodermus West. Who's that? We should watch it again. We should watch Doctor Strange again.
But that's in the first 20 minutes, isn't it?
And then he comes in at the end. Yeah.
Okay. See, that's the part I don't like in Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sad all the time.
Well,
I'm a sad asshole.
Michael Stuhlbarg is there, so it's cool.
Okay. Now that I know that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll make that section better.
Yeah.
And then the sad part still has Rachel McAdams. And then when it gets happy, then you bring in Chiwetel Ejiofor and Tilda. Yeah. And they're great. They do a great job. T-Swints. And then it's just crazy zaniness.
Sprinkle on a little Mads.
A little. Sprinkle that with some Mads. You got yourself a movie.
You're good to go.
You're good to go. Okay, so it's difficult to separate, you're saying, Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords, from what we know him as.
But he is very funny in this.
Yes.
But he's a huge asshole in this.
Yeah.
And I don't know entirely what the movie is saying.
Hmm.
Because I get that he is very sad, and I empathize with the person who is trying to get out of the infinite rut that they're in. And
which is who? Which character was trying to get out?
Jermaine,
sure.
Yeah, like he has always been the bad son, and
the embarrassment, and he lost his brother, who everybody loved, but his brother had seemed like for real problems. Like, you know, it looked like he had depression. It looked like
it was great when Jermaine was like, "I have depression."
Yeah, because you're like, okay, sure, I'm sure you do, but the way you're acting right now,
performative depression.
It's performative,
but he does. He's very depressed.
He's
a very sad man
for sure. He went through some stuff.
He's a deadbeat dad.
Yeah. Okay, so it's difficult to separate that, but he was still funny and good in it. But also,
boys about deadbeat dads, too.
I know. Well, here's the thing. It's not uncommon for a film director to revisit themes and be like, I think I can do this. But like, I think Taika basically did everything he did in this movie better in subsequent movies. You know what I mean? And that's not a knock on this movie. It's just like, this is your first movie. Like, this is the first feature-length film that you directed and wrote, I think, out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still see those
and like
themes.
Someone who is rotten is still worthy of love.
That's it. You figured out the movie. That's what I think what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's trying
to say. Also, Lily deserves better.
I mean, that's true. She does. But also,
she is
like,
amazing.
Lily was enamored with him from the get.
True.
So it's almost like, look, she deserves better.
She's very forgiving.
But she... This is also somebody who she's into.
Dorky introverts.
Yeah. She was phenomenal. Look up the actress's name because I want to give her a shout out because she was like
the best part
phenomenal.
Of the
phenomenal. I bought it 100%. Everything that she did, everything her character did, and all of her acting choices and her performance I thought was fantastic. Like you were talking about Jermaine. Jermaine Clement has a couple moments in this that are so good and so funny. And he's got a couple moments.
Lauren Taylor. Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple moments that I'm like, You are definitely putting this on to try to be funny in this movie. Mm-hmm. To try to be funny in this moment. Almost like a Napoleon moment. Like
Gentleman
a, gosh,
Broncos.
Like a, yeah, like, yeah, that's interesting.
Trunk-a-ho.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit fakey.
Mm-hmm.
But
playing a character.
Yes, and also being like, I'm going to do karate, double kick. And you're like, okay, at this point, I only buy that a couple of stupid full-grown male characters in movies are that dumb. Napoleon Dynamite, Rod Kimball, that's pretty much it. Like,
but
like,
also that's kind of like, he's a child.
Exactly, and stunted.
Yeah.
Stuck in high school. And he was, what, 28? Is that what they said in the movie?
Yeah.
And he has a 9-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm. She so also when he was super young, he had a child when he was 19 years old.
I know. So that definitely probably messed him up.
So much messed him up.
Yeah.
And I get it is the thing. Like, you've met, you know those people.
For sure.
Who.
For sure.
It's just sad.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're working at a Best Buy equivalent or whatever. And it's like they have, you know, like a small apartment or whatever. All stuff that is like. You look at
normal.
It's normal, and you look at a young person in various stages of their life, and all of that shit's normal. Like whatever stage you are in your life, that's normal because that's what that's where you're in your life right now.
Yeah.
But whenever you see that person, and then also they have like a 10-year-old kid or a 9-year-old kid, you're like, oh,
and like I don't see my kid that much.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
My dad hates me.
Yep, it really sucks.
Yeah. Also. That's got to do something to you.
Yeah.
To have that, a dad like that.
Absolutely. The really, like,
it's hard not to be so forgiving of the character.
Yeah.
Because he is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a huge loser.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like
his circumstances are, yeah,
it's
I don't
so
know, man.
Sad
mm-hmm.
that you can't help but pity him, mainly.
Yeah. That's what it is. Versus like Lauren, what was her character's name? Lily?
Yeah.
Lily's brother is...
just the sweetest man.
But also like for all intents and purposes, also a huge dork. Like really awkward.
A dork, but not a loser.
Super nice.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
He seemed not...
In his life, he had his shit in order, it seemed.
I guess.
Like, I go to my job, I drive, I take care of my sister.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seemed like... confident enough to, you know, spit out crappy impressions, and it's so endearing that you're like, this guy's great.
Especially when Lily sells the laugh.
I know.
She's so good in this
I'll
movie.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
And she's like, like, yeah. Well, Damon, that's the brother's name?
Damon, yeah.
Was Chelsea's favorite character.
Yeah.
Damon was great.
Rachel House being in this movie also.
Yeah.
With the tracksuits.
She was
great.
I
wanted every tracksuit in this movie.
She was great. That green one was your favorite that she gave to Lily to wear.
Definitely.
Okay.
And she crushed it.
What else did you think about, you talked earlier about like how nuts it is to see Taika getting better as a director, as a filmmaker.
Like you still see his flavor of comedy, but it has been refined and it's more...
Was there anything surprisingly good in that sense in this movie? Was there anything where you're like, oh shit, that like, for example, the animation, I forgot that there's like three little bits, three or four little bits.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Very Wes Anderson.
It was Wes Anderson-y, but also I don't know how much of that he'd done yet.
That's true. Wes? Well, this came out in 07. When did Life Aquatic, I think, was 04.
Okay, true.
So he definitely saw the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. He's like, oh, man, I could do that.
It's a good year for movies that inspire my movies.
Napoleon, Life Aquatic, let's go make a movie.
Which is fine.
And then I'll direct a Marvel movie.
How old was he when he made this one, though?
I don't know. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look. What is he now, 50?
And it's also awesome seeing all the people from...
Jermaine, Rachel House.
Yeah. The other guys who are in all of his other stuff. Like the husband of Rachel House, I'm pretty sure, is in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, cool.
As one of the hunters.
Cool. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, I think they all did great. At no point was I like, oh, these are just like very low budget indie actors. I was like, no, they're everybody.
The New Zealand accent is so charming.
It is. It really is. Like who's let's call it out. Who's like the worst actor in this movie? Let's be real mean. Maybe the guitar player brother. But he was great.
He was super funny.
Super nice.
Yeah.
And when he was playing guitar and the little girl was dancing.
And
it was
also
great.
There's never like in some of his movies there are people who are bad actors, but that's not their performance isn't what they're in the movie
exactly,
for.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Is there anything that you let's talk about what you didn't like, because this is the first time you watch it tonight. And you were saying maybe this movie, the problem is it doesn't hold up that well. Is there just like subject matter? Is there stuff in
it's
it that
just
you're
too
like,
forgiving of a man being shitty to a woman?
Yeah. And a daughter potentially.
Yeah.
Like the movie kind of glosses over that yeah. fact, but do you think that the message,
it doesn't ever forgive him for any of it though.
Right.
She accepts it.
I see what you're saying. But
don't and
he you
does
think,
seem to learn to care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
because he, well, let's talk about it for a second. Cause I love what you brought up. There's a couple things we can talk about.
Everything he does for the approval of his family and father.
Yeah. It seemed like, or maybe his friends like back in the city or whatever, when yeah. he was living, when he was like doing stuff and you know,
but especially his dad.
That was so funny when he walked out though, when she was having lunch and he was like, that was some good sex last night.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like that was some really good sex last night. And she was like,
so stupid. Or just,
all right, I'll
yep.
see you later.
I love
what are you doing
yep.
later? Yep. Okay, so first thing I want to talk about is Lily
mm-hmm.
having a conversation with Jared's dad. Because what I was going to say earlier is it's sometimes frustrating to watch movies like this that have very endearing and real people, sort of with real problem, or real relationships that you go, man, that's relatable. Like mm-hmm. this is family dynamics. This is hard. And watch a movie like that and not go, why can't just like a professional therapist just walk into this scene and fix this?
People are poor.
I know. Oh, I know. Because, you know.
And also, therapy's frowned upon.
Yeah.
You can't go to therapy, dude.
I mean, depending on, but you're right. I guess so. So
depending on, but also still at large in society.
I get that. So, but that's still a definite frustration watching a movie like this where you go, all this is like communication breakdown. All this is like, just because the relationships are so well
defined.
But
think about the issues even in your own family. That's
I know.
All that shit is. But
I know.
It's never like, I'm never going to the therapist
if,
with my
if,
dad.
If there was a movie about my family, I would be watching it and just being like,
see,
just
guys,
figure this out.
Talk
come
to
on.
Somebody.
I know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't the therapist just magically walked on screen
uh-huh.
onto this set and just yeah. solved this? So that is to say, because the relationships are so well defined, you very clearly you're like, okay, Jared's dad doesn't approve of Jared or really care about him, which is a bummer. Jared's dad lost another son who was beloved, but he was obviously suffering from depression. Jared's suffering from that too.
It's like an,
Jared has a contentious relationship with his sister. Dewey Cox story?
Dad can't. The wrong kid
died. Man, remember when Donald Trump's brother died like a week or two ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was trending on Twitter like
of
wrong.
COVID.
Wrong Trump.
Yep.
Of COVID. But did they cover it up?
I feel like.
Yeah. God.
Don't worry. He had a speech tonight and no one wore masks and they're all sitting right next
great.
To each other.
That's great. Yeah, I saw
That's
that.
Cool. It's okay.
Giuliani
that's only
was
exactly
profusely.
How Herman Cain died.
Cool. That's fine.
Don't worry
that's
about it.
That's totally fine. My God. I just am seeing red right now. I just close my eyes and I'm.
Yeah.
I'm like seething red.
I'm just seeing
so,
Rudy Giuliani's red, sweaty
yeah.
forehead.
So what I wanted to talk about was the scene where Lily, in to the best of her ability, because she is an awkward, shy character, right? She seems like a lovely human, but she's very. But
also, she's awesome.
She
like,
is
the
awesome.
Family loves her.
Yeah.
She ends up like cutting
yep.
loose at that party,
mm-hmm.
showing that. Like
I loved it, man. And she's got a great relationship with her brother. Like,
mm-hmm.
she's great in a lot of ways. And yet,
and she's comfortable around that weird-ass family.
That's true. But she also had, like, difficulty at her dead-end job, and then she got fired, and they didn't seem to like her because they were always going to fire her, which is a real
mm-hmm.
bummer with the names
out
of the hat.
I feel like every name probably said Lily in it. I think it was a
oh, yeah.
shit move.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I remember when we were watching it tonight, and he pulled a name out of the hat. I remember my brain went, all the names are Lily.
Yeah.
And I almost said it like, oh man, that'd be messed up. I think all the names are Lily. But it was a real spoiler because I remembered from, no, but she was looking through the trash.
Oh yeah.
And so like she kind of confirmed that like once you have four names in there that are Lily, even
it's
if she
fucked.
Didn't look at the 12
so
paper
sad.
Slips or whatever, like they're all named Lily. Anyway, she talks to Jared's dad and Jared's dad's like, Jared. And she tells him like, you know, life's hard. There's lots of hard bits, but, you know, there's some lovely bits, too.
Jared's a lovely bit.
And he's like, Jared, you probably don't even know what his favorite animal is.
Of course I do.
Giraffe. Nope.
It's
zebra. Nope. Like, until she had to be like, eagle. And that made her father realize, like, crap, like, I don't know my son
mm-hmm.
currently, you know? And I think that conversation...
I don't think my parents know my favorite animal.
I don't. I bet you my parents could guess my that's favorite animal.
That's a fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man. No, Mom, that's not all I care about. Spider-Man, that's your favorite animal. I think that the movie is implying that, like, their relationship is going to just get better, Jared and his dad, because of the conversation mm-hmm. that Lily had with dad. That's what I think of as in the implication. So I don't know if the movie is necessarily forgiving Jared or the dad.
Jared's never been accepted by his family fully.
Yeah.
And that's fucked him up.
Yeah.
And that'll do it.
And
that'll fucking do it.
Do you think that conversation that the movie is saying that things are going to get better, or is Lily just sort of...
Yeah, it's okay. saying that.
So the second one I wanted to talk about is the day before Lily takes the bus back home, she goes to see the fight. Because the bus was on Sunday, so the fight is on Saturday. 3 p.m., Jared's going to fight the high school bully. Doesn't know that the high school bully's in a wheelchair.
He lets loose.
It was super funny, but I was like, I don't know if this holds up. Like,
it
yeah.
doesn't hold up, but yeah. it is a fucked thing. That's what it is.
It's like sad, it happy. Is so sad. Or sad funny, I guess. Because you're like, you're also laughing. You're laughing at
you're
Jared.
Exactly the dad who's like, cut it out.
I know, exactly. Yeah. So after that, Jared runs away. Mm-hmm. Lily goes to find him mm-hmm. and like talks to him and says like, and Jared's the one going, why do you hang out with me? I'm a loser. There's no point in hanging out with me. And Lily goes, yeah, there is, and you're not. And then she says two things. I'm leaving tomorrow by bus, and that could change, which I think is a great...
That's a great line.
It was such a good line. I thought that was a fantastic way to sort of finish the story. So then the next day he shows up with Lily's, and you said
he
earlier...
He learns
you're
to be
like,
less selfish.
Okay.
Hopefully.
And you think that... So my question to you is, because you were like, the movie... And I think it's fair. I think it's valid. Like, the movie doesn't actively show us Jared... improving those relationships. It just kind of like the movie sort of ends where
I think it's about depression.
Yeah.
And it is about how everybody is depressed.
Yep.
And
everybody deals with it differently.
You need to make sure that you are aware of other people's depression before you make it all about your depression because you're just going to bring everybody down.
Yeah.
It's called being empathetic. It's called seeing people's problems. It's called being aware.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, man.
I hope that's what it's about.
That's really nice. I think it is. It could also be viewed as being very silly and being like a New Zealand Napoleon Dynamite, and that's mm-hmm. fine too. Like, you know, Napoleon's probably about some real shit.
This is a little bit more so, though.
More grounded? Oh, absolutely.
It's more grounded and definitely sadder mm-hmm. and like has it's about the family dynamic. Napoleon mm-hmm. Dynamite's like, hey, I'm weird, and then I eventually get a weird girlfriend
yeah.
who plays tetherball.
Yeah. And then his brother also gets a... like an odd person girlfriend that he connects to
mm-hmm.
and Napoleon's was it his aunt,
his aunt.
Who's
yeah.
it was
Broker
did they live
toxics.
With his aunt
and then
yeah.
Uncle Rico
but then like she, yeah and Uncle Rico like yeah I'm trying to remember like they all go through stuff but they all are kind of better by the end
I think except right? Uncle Rico's always a dick
yeah
Kip's always a dick
yeah but then Kip gets a girlfriend and he's like, pretends to be black and he's nicer to Napoleon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to rewatch that movie too.
I wonder how that holds up.
I know. Cause I'll mm-hmm. tell you straight up, Nacho Libre, awesome to me. I don't care. Even if it doesn't hold up, I'm like, nah, I love
it. Well, maybe it doesn't. I don't know if it probably doesn't hold up.
Nacho?
Only in the fact that, well, I guess he's not doing brown face.
True. He's just putting on an accent.
Yeah.
Listen, man. It funny thing about, let's do a little sidebar conversation about Nacho.
And we've done this before
we
on
have,
this podcast.
But I want to talk about Nacho Libre. I cannot speak
should
for...
Should we do Jared Hess movies?
Maybe. How many are there? Four?
I think four or five.
There's Napoleon, Nacho,
Gentlemen Broncos. Some movie about like a pastor or something.
A pastor?
Yeah.
Well, look it up. Look it up right now. Okay. But I'll go on this little side tangent about Nacho Libre because... representation is incredibly important to me in movies and TV show and media and stuff. Like, it's very important. I also really, really rally behind, like, Latino representation, Latinx representation, because I feel like that's severely lacking in movies,
yeah.
TV, and
mm-hmm.
everything else. Nacho Libre is interesting because...
especially the way they're represented in...
Of course. Negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the statistic of, like, 30% of Latin characters in movies and TV are involved.
Or if we're in Mexico, we're going to put a yellow filter
on
the camera.
I know. Everything's so dusty. 30% of characters are involved in criminality, and that's not an accurate statistic, and that leads to, you know, stuff like Trump saying, they're not sending our best criminals and rapists, and people going like, yeah. It's like, no, that's from TV shows.
Don Verdeen. Oh, and that Masterminds movie with Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig and Owen Wilson.
What? I'll watch
it. And Jason Sudeikis.
I'll watch it. Oh, like a heist. Like it's like a crime movie, but a bunch of idiots or something?
Yeah.
I'll watch that.
I think it's based on a true story, too.
How many total? How many total Jared Hess movies are there?
Movies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five?
5 movies.
I'd do that. Hell, I'd watch
hell
that.
Hell, I'd do that.
Hell, I'd do that. No way.
No way.
No way. So, Nacho Libre.
Oh, my God.
I cannot. What? What'd you find?
Shanghai Dawn.
Is that coming out?
That's the thing he's going to direct, starring Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson.
Have they started filming?
I don't know.
Probably not, because COVID. I think I would have heard about it.
But, God, I hope that comes out. That movie.
God, I hope that comes out.
Every day of my life, probably.
I really hope it comes out. I really hope it's released. By the way, dude, are you excited about Bill and Ted tomorrow?
That's a terrible cowboy name.
Yeah. John Wayne? That's great. Those are funny, man.
They
let's
are
do
funny.
The, let's
I don't
do the
know
rush
how they
hours,
hold up.
And then let's do the 2 Shanghais.
Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Night.
That's awesome.
So good.
Shanghai Dawn.
Shanghai
great.
Dawn. Perfect.
Great title. So, let me just wrap up with this Nacho Libre point for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot speak for all Mexican people. Cannot speak for a Latin community. I can speak for myself. I can speak for my friends who happen to be Mexican. And I can speak for many family members who I know who happen to be Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
We fucking love that movie. Because even though Jack Black is a white guy and he's the lead, everybody else in the movie is a Mexican actor.
Yes.
They do some stuff that is very stereotypical, but also they do some stuff that is super authentic. In terms of how characters speak, how they, you know, it almost feels like they're showing a time that is like the 50s in Mexico because of like how small the little pueblo, the little village is, and how much they love
the church
and Mexican wrestling, and like that one guy who's at all of Nacho's matches from the beginning, like this like incredible faced Mexican guy that they got that's just like eating corn and so happy, like stuff like that. And Concepcion, like, or Encarnacion, stuff like that is just so funny to me and so authentic that I feel as though Jared Hess and everybody did a bunch of research. Like they did, like it feels like that. While also, you know,
that movie.
Giving a showcase to everybody else who's in the movie. So he's not doing brownface. He's doing an accent. And the accent I also think is like, that's the other thing too, is I do give Jack Black credit for, I'm like, that accent is not bad. There's some stuff that he says that is very funny, but it's also very accurate to how they're like Mexicans with Mexican accents speak English. And I think it's so great. I think it's so great. Anyway, I have a big old spot in my heart for that movie, even though the lead actor is not Mexican. But I'm like, look, man, we'll take what we can get, dude. Okay. Everybody else in that movie is Latin, which is great.
And it's a hilarious
and the music
movie.
And it's got so heart funny. And it's, you know, I remember when I would like, when I showed it to my mom, that we would talk about how certain things are, like some of it reminded her of her childhood.
It's
know
in
I mean?
No way malicious.
Exactly.
Like it's not the butt of the joke.
Who's the big bad in it? Ramses.
Yeah.
He's a dick. But there's a bunch of good characters.
But he's like the
characters.
Asshole wrestler.
Exactly.
It's like,
exactly. My mom thought it was the funniest thing that Esqueleto was concerned about. No, that Nacho was concerned about Esqueleto's eternal soul because he hadn't been baptized, so he like dunks his head in water.
He keeps trying to.
So funny. Anyway, what were we talking about? I think we're back to Eagle versus Shark.
Eagle versus Shark.
First, we were saying we want to rewatch Napoleon to be like, does that hold up? Because we're talking about Eagle versus Shark,
and that's on the list.
It is. So we'll get to it. But Eagle versus Shark, does it hold up? I think it does mostly, and I think it's about a losery guy, and I think you nailed it on the head, Keller. I think that it's about depression, and it shows you how different people deal, and I think that the lesson by the end of it is just be aware of other people's depression, because Jermaine Clement, like there were really cool and funny things about him.
Yeah.
You know, he seemed like he threw like a fun party for a bunch of awkward people.
Yeah, and everybody fucking loved the party.
Everybody was into it and the tournament, and I'm like, this guy has a good circle of friends, and then he hooked up
with Lily.
With Lily that night. Uh-huh. And she was into it. Yeah. He's like, do you want to have sex now?
Yep.
Yep. And then he awkwardly put a condom on it, you know, and they had sex for 4 seconds or whatever. Yeah. And everything seemed cool.
Panther painting.
It's as soon as he ditched her
amazing
at the movie.
Tapestries.
Can you imagine if he had just gone to the movie to go see the new Wolverine movie with her?
Yeah.
Like, it would have been great.
But that's when we learn about his depression.
Yeah. That's when the movie takes a turn, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't do it as good as you. You can do it.
You
great.
Did a great job.
You can do great. Can you say my favorite Wolverine movie is the last one in a New Zealand accent?
My favorite Wolverine movie? The last one.
Perfect pause.
I like Logan.
Yeah, it's the most badass one.
I didn't like that first one.
Yeah.
The Origins one? I didn't like Origins.
But I like Logan.
I didn't like the second Wolverine one either.
Yeah, the one where they go to Japan?
Yeah, didn't like
it. It's okay.
Mm-mm.
It's all right.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
Mm-mm.
What'd you think of Bad Taste? Loved it.
Bad Taste?
My favorite movie.
Favorite movie. That's where I'm from.
Okay. What other overall thoughts do you have on Eagle vs. Shark Killer? You watched it first time tonight.
Yeah, I give it like a 7, 6.
Okay, how many?
That's not bad.
How many stars out of 5?
It'll get 3 stars out of 5.
I'm going to give it 2. I'm going to give it 2, which means it was good, didn't connect with me.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Every single one of his other movies
are like
for me,
4 and 5.
Are fivers for me.
Yeah, every single
Boys
one.
Boys a fiver.
Whoa.
Hunt for the Wilder People, fiver.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit might be a fiver. Or maybe a fourver.
A fourver.
Maybe a fourvel. Maybe a fourvel.
Maybe a fourvel.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a fivel? It's a fourvel?
Not quite a fivel.
Okay. American Tail.
And they're definitely not going west.
No, they're not. Okay. But yeah, dude, I might give. I'm definitely What We Do in the Shadows, Thor Ragnarok, Hunt for the Wilder People. I feel like those are all 5-star movies for me.
Yeah.
And Boy might be like a 4-star, 3 or 4-star movie for me.
Boy.
And Jojo Rabbit's a 4-star movie.
Boy has the
movie.
Most heart of any of them.
Yeah.
And Boy is the most personal of any of them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Thor Ragnarok's pretty personal.
That's true. Yeah.
Because I look at that and I go, that's Taika Waititi's life.
He lived that.
He lived that, dude. He had
it
a brother
when
who
Hela showed up.
Attacked him with
like,
a snake.
What? I have a sister.
Hey, man.
I just had to watch my brother die last movie.
But how great is Korg? And we're going to get to watch Thor in 3D.
Yep. And man. You want to just go ahead and say what our plan is for when we watch Thor?
What?
We're going to watch Thor Ragnarok. And then
the next night,
we're going to double feature
Infinity War
and Endgame.
I have yet to do that.
Yeah.
I have yet to do a double feature back-to-back in
because
one
that's
sitting.
The correct order in which to watch this movie.
I mean, it's not, but I'll allow it.
No, we said that is.
The Thor is. But then, if you want to get technical with it, Thor is the last movie that the last moment takes place right before Infinity War because mm-hmm. the last moment is Thanos' ship
mm-hmm,
shows up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you watch Avengers Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that, the last moment technically in the chronology is like Nick Fury disappearing into dust, right? It's like after the snap. Or maybe it's just Thanos sitting in the farm. That's probably the last
it's
moment.
Farm.
Is Thanos sitting on
farm
the farm?
Time.
Such a good moment. So then.
Farm time.
Technically.
No, it's Captain Marvel.
No, it's the farm.
Beep-a-deep.
Not the beeper, because I feel like Thanos smiling on the farm has to have happened a little bit after the snap. But then here's the question. I don't think the snap is instantaneous because it kind of goes in like a, it feels like it would
it
be a shockwave.
It is instantaneous.
You think it's instantaneous? How come some people were disappearing and others were not?
Because that's the snap thing.
What do you mean that's the snap thing?
Because it's different shots.
What?
Just
different shots?
Yeah.
But Maria Hill disappears and then so does Fury, but Fury has enough time to go and grab a beeper and then press
you
a thing.
You want
to
know why?
Why?
Because it's a fucking movie. And like, we should make this dramatic.
That's true. Yeah. I know. You know what I love is that fans came up with
people
a,
try
a,
to think of the
yeah,
logistics.
A
like,
bullshit reason.
No, they want to show Maria Hill and then Samuel
yeah,
L. Jackson.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. It makes sense. But yeah, the really funny fan bullshit reason for Spider-Man taking a really long time to die, Tom Holland, you know, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark, is because fans are like, oh, his spider sense sensed it. I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. His spider sense sensed it before anybody else, before Drax, before Star-Lord.
He should have dodged it.
He should have dodged it.
He could have dodged
it. Just move to the side and mm-hmm. you wouldn't get snapped.
Would've
but then,
fine.
After Avengers Infinity War, is Ant-Man and the Wasp, because they get snapped at the end of that movie, when Hank Pym or when mm-hmm. Scott Lang is in the quantum zone, in the quantum realm.
But that's
realm.
At the end.
But then so past that is the ant playing drums with the emergency broadcast signal, which that's supposed to happen like a little bit after the snap. So that's technically further along than Infinity War. Then you want to get more technical with it, brother?
I don't.
Captain Marvel has her showing up and being like, where's Fury?
I said, so I that's don't like get
that's
technical.
Like hours or days
I said, I
after
don't
the
get
okay.
more technical.
Anyway, I have,
said the way I want to watch it.
I know is great.
The way we're gonna watch
and
it,
and I want to do that.
Like I'm not
I have
gonna watch
to
Firefly.
Fire? Yeah, you are.
I'm not watching Firefly.
Yeah, you are.
Nope.
We're gonna do it.
And Serenity's not next one of time the top put 500 on, greatest next, films of all time.
Next time I put on an episode of Batman, it's just
Sorry,
gonna
Nathan.
Be Serenity. It's just gonna be an episode of Serenity.
Don't you do it?
I'm gonna trick you.
It's not Serenity. It's Firefly. You don't even know what you're gonna put on.
I'm gonna edit it to where it starts like bum, 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 and then goes into Firefly.
And I won't get it until 20 minutes in.
Little update. How are you feeling about Batman?
We've seen some stinkers. Today's not good.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was a weird...
I promise you it gets better. I promise you it
Riddler
gets better.
Riddler knockoff.
But I'm glad you're getting the overall feeling of it. And mm-hmm. as much as I love Batman, the animated series, I think a lot of people hold it up to the gold standard. And it is overall, but you could still
as
look
far
at,
as like a superhero you know, TV
depiction.
Show.
Yeah. But you can look at individual episodes and go, this...
Well, they had to make 60 of them, and
know,
they can't
man.
All be winners.
Exactly. There's only I don't know, how many Batman villains? Like 20?
Yeah, and then they just were like...
What, are they just going to each show up three
this
times?
This guy just like that's makes up they, stuff that will kill you.
That's what they should have done. They just should have had each bad guy show up three times.
Honestly, I don't know why. 60
episodes done. You know, I used to do that when I was a kid and when I was in high school and shit. I used to be like, okay, if I get a hypothetical Spider-Man cartoon show, mm-hmm. map it out. What's each season? I'm like, okay, season one, high school years. Season two, he's in college.
No.
Season three, that's how I map it out by the decades. I was like, this is what my
but
seasons would be.
That's wrong.
Why?
Because you can't do 4 years in one season.
Sure you can. Because I would just
oh,
pretend
you're
he
doing
got
a
bit.
60-episode season?
No, because I would be doing a 13-episode season.
No.
But I would just pretend that he got bit like... you know, like here is, you know what we have to watch? We have to watch The Spectacular Spider-Man, which lasted two seasons.
Okay.
A great cartoon show, great cartoon show. But I would just do, my cartoon show would be like, okay, we're going to join him in the last few weeks of senior year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been Spider-Man for like 2 years. So then let's just get into it. And then
I have a question
like,
for you.
Yeah.
If you were invited to a party.
Yeah.
And they're like, dressed as your favorite animal. What animal would you dress as?
Fuck. I might just go grab like a gorilla suit. I love gorillas.
Do you really love gorillas?
I do. I love monkeys and I love primates. I love gorillas and
don't
apes.
Don't conflate monkeys
and
primates.
Monkeys. They're all monkeys are primates.
No, they're not.
What are they?
Primates are primates. A gorilla is not a monkey.
I know that. I didn't say that.
That's
I said they're
what
all
I'm saying.
Primates, bro.
They're not all monkeys.
I love monkeys and I love gorillas and I love apes.
Okay.
And I love orangutans.
And primates. Well, an orangutan is an ape.
Yeah, I love all the great apes, but I also love monkeys too. Monkeys
yeah.
are great. Monkeys have tails. Apes don't. I know.
You know.
I watched some movies with Planet of them.
Planet, Earth,
okay.
apes.
So I would probably go dressed as an ape. I don't know. What about you?
Would you just be Caesar?
Yeah, of course. I would just be walking around like...
Go!
Yeah. I'd just be whispering in people's ears, Caesar is home. Like, Hector, you got to go home, dude. You got to... Come on, man. You're drunk.
Man, the worst Halloween
Caesar
party.
Is Caesar home. Is home. Like... I would try to set up somehow, write maybe write it down on a piece of paper, get somebody to read the line.
Dude,
human
set, I'll
human
set you
work.
Up. I'll set you up.
Human work.
Human
and I,
work.
That's all I would do. Like, human work. Human. I'm like, okay, Hector, okay.
Chill out, Andy.
I would do all the lines. Oh, my God. And at the end of the day, I would sit looking at the sunset and then just fall over and die until somebody cried.
I would. I'd
That'd be
cry.
Fun, dude. Yeah, I'd walk around like an ape. That'd be fun.
You could do it.
I'd get super into it. I would. I'd be like, I would pretend I was a motion capture actor in the Planet of the Apes franchise. It would get annoying.
Andy Serkis?
I'd bring those big old, like, braces, those, like, you know, crutches or
so
whatever.
So you can walk on your, yeah.
Hector, stop.
Hector, chill
we're gonna
the
play
fuck out,
Mario
dude.
Kart.
Wow, this ape can play Mario Kart.
Hector is amazing. Hector. Is Donkey Kong.
Hector is Black Shy Guy. Every time Hector's
Black Shy Guy. That's my favorite.
I'm Link.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay, what are my overall thoughts on Eagle versus Shark? 2 stars. Let me tell you why. Good movie. Couldn't fully connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Had moments where I felt like it was a little too unrealistic or fake, or I'm like, I bought the Lily character 100%.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff Jared did didn't buy, where I'm like, it's Jermaine, this is you and Taika trying to be funny and trying to be awkward and trying to be Napoleon. But most other stuff that Jermaine, Jared was doing, I bought it. The mm-hmm. family was great. Everybody was great, but...
It's a sweet movie.
Sweet movie. I don't think I need to see it again.
It's a little frustrating.
Wouldn't own it.
No, me neither. Wouldn't.
Okay. Interesting, because you own Bottle Rocket.
I like Bottle
Would
Rocket.
Would you own this if Criterion was
I
like...
I love Bottle Rocket.
If Criterion was like, we're going to do the Taika.
Yeah, I would buy it.
Yeah. If they're going to be like, we're putting out Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. We're Criterion.
That'd be fucking...
That'd be so sick. Awesome. But it's only if they included it. A 3D
what
disc.
If we
they
lead what if we lead that campaign?
Do you think it exists?
What?
Taika Waititi filmography for Criterion?
Well, not that. We can even just try for Thor Ragnarok. All it is enough people decide, vote.
Really? So
how
it works?
I think right in.
They did Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, everything's on the table.
What if they did the MCU pack? That'd be awesome. So funny.
That'd be awesome. I would love to see...
Janus Films.
Because
Infinity War.
Answer the question, what's the difference between a regular Blu-ray and like a Criterion Blu-ray? What's the difference?
The special feature.
Yeah. And what does Criterion do?
Special feature.
But what, like, do they make new special features? Do they just like archive everything?
They'll do new shit. They'll archive shit.
I love that.
Yeah. They'll add stuff.
Their stuff would be
and
so
And there's
good.
All the different art and then they'll find essays about the things and add those.
Oh, man. Essays? Yeah. Are you kidding mm-hmm. me?
You can. There's a few essays in that Wes Anderson stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Man, that'd be so dope. I would love that for all the
essays.
Marvel movies. Speaking of Marvel
just,
movies.
Who's that guy who did the series on the MCU?
Oh, Siddhant Aglana.
Just put those his essay in every single one of them.
The military industrial complex's influence on the Marvel movies. It's
that'd
like,
be,
yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
That'd
and
be
then
so cool.
He got to Doctor Strange and he was like, this is very interesting. This is cool.
Yeah.
Because of this, this, and this. And I went, oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, for sure. That movie is better now because of this essay that I read. Speaking of Marvel movies, Keller, we just watched 2003's Hulk, directed by Ang
Turns
Lee.
Turns out, good movie.
I like it.
Bad movie?
Yeah.
But a good movie.
Good movie. Like, very purposeful.
I might. It is the third best superhero movie of the 2000s?
Thousands? From 2000 to 2009?
No.
Wow.
That's inaccurate.
Because you've had The Dark
because
Knight and
Dark
Iron
Knight
Man.
And Iron Man came out. To 2008. It's the best one
Spider-Man
of the...
Spider-Man 2.
You got Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2 and...
what's better? What's
And Hulk. Like
Hulk?
Fuck
but
the
like,
Fantastic Four movies.
Is Batman Begins better than Hulk? I would say maybe.
It
so
is,
then now
definitely.
Hulk is the sixth best.
Batman Begins is way more streamlined,
okay,
cleaner.
That came out in 2005. So right now, Hulk is sitting at the sixth best. Wait a minute. What about X2, X-Men United?
Nope.
Hulk beats it.
I like Hulk better.
The first X-Men, Hulk beats it.
I like Hulk better.
Damn. Daredevil, Hulk beats it?
Yes.
Spider-Man 3, Hulk beats it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hang on a minute. Fantastic Four, Hulk beats it. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, Hulk
oh,
beats
wait.
It.
Just kidding. Hulk beats it.
The Punisher with Thomas Jane,
Hulk
beats
it.
Damn.
Do you agree with all this?
So far, yeah. I'm trying to think of, okay, wait, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Hulk beats it.
Yeah.
X-Men The Last Stand, Hulk beats it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hulk is the sixth best superhero movie of the 2000s. What am I missing? Superman Returns, Hulk beats it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, Hellboy. Hulk might beat it. I like the first Hellboy.
I like Hulk better than Hellboy.
Okay, we have a case here. I could make an argument for Hellboy.
You could.
I could.
But also...
But at least it's in the conversation.
Hulk is more interesting than Hellboy is.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Hulk is
but
such,
Hellboy's more
Hulk is
pulpy,
such a good,
for sure. And but, I like... If you're into that, I like that. If you're into that, I like that.
Sure.
But...
But
okay. Interesting.
Hulk can't be that pulpy.
That's true. Even though I watched the commentary with Ang Lee, and he was like, "We try to make it pulpy."
Well, you know what he. But like,
for sure.
With how sad.
Yeah.
It's as pulpy as how sad.
Man,
that
what
is,
other superhero movies came out in the 2000s? Because we had no Captain Americas, no Thors, no.
Let me look it up.
In the year 2000, it was like X-Men. I think that's it. 2001, I don't know, Lord of the Rings. 2002, Spider-Man, Attack of the Clones. 2003, X-Men 2. 2004, and Hulk was 2003. 2004, I think it was Hellboy. 2005, Batman Begins. 2006,
Push. In 2009, Watchmen.
Yeah, 2009. Is Watchmen better than Hulk? I think Hulk beats it, dude.
I like Hulk
I'm
better
sorry.
Than Watchmen.
I think Hulk
Watchmen
beats it.
Watchmen isn't bad. It's
no,
better.
It's not.
I like Hulk better than The Incredible Hulk, which came out in 2008.
Yeah, I'm going to put Incredible Hulk above that.
I like Hulk better, though.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Just because there's so much of the formulaic superhero stuff.
And Ang Lee's Hulk's trying to do some stuff. And look, man, there's an argument to be made that Ang Lee Hulk has
used... Catwoman, 2004.
Nope, Hulk beats it.
Zoom, 2006. No. Oh,
do we count? Hang on.
The Mask.
I don't want to count The Incredibles or Unbreakable or Hancock. Like, movies that are not based on real. As perfect as The Incredibles is. But
Constantine doesn't count.
Sure, I think it does, but I think Hulk beats... Oh, I haven't seen Constantine yet.
Beats it.
Okay, good to know. I think Hulk is the sixth best superhero movie of the 2000s. I think we just determined that.
The Spirit.
Debatably. Oh, that was real bad. What a bummer. Sin City, is that comic book or superhero? I would say comic book.
That's comic book, not superhero. It's different.
It was pretty good, though. Pretty
Up and Away was
good.
Awesome. The what Disney Channel movie about the family of black superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
That was
awesome. Wait, aren't they doing a sequel to that? I heard about
that. They should.
I think I saw somewhere that they're going to bring that back or something.
Yeah.
They definitely should. Is that on Disney Plus?
I don't know.
Click on that for a second, because if that shit's on Disney Plus,
yeah,
I'll
watch
it.
We're watching that shit right now.
I'll watch it.
It's on Disney Plus. Let's put it on.
Whoa.
Let's put it on.
Wait. We got to space ourselves. We're in
Bulletproof
quarantine.
Bulletproof Monk.
No, I think I did see that.
Underdog.
And I think it's bad.
Astro
Underdog
Boy.
Is not that bad, by the way. Underdog, I think, is
I believe
not that bad.
It isn't.
Yeah, better than Alvin and the Chipmunks.
We don't count any of the DC animated movies because The New Frontier is better than Hulk.
Yes, it is.
Or actually, the book is better than, but I might
I get that.
They squandered that book, if we're being honest.
What do you think they should have done, a full-on, animated miniseries where they just adapt, word for word?
Well, they didn't even, stick to his style enough. His animation.
Sure,
stuff.
I think as best they could. Listen, Darwin worked on the cartoon.
Better.
He worked on the cartoon.
Yeah,
he
could have worked on it more. They could have spent more money on it.
Dude, are you excited to read Batman Ego?
Yeah, but you're going to make me wait.
Yeah, give me a couple
six
weeks.
6 weeks.
Give me a couple weeks.
We got to watch Batman versus Dracula.
That was fun, but we have to watch a couple seasons of The Batman first.
True.
But that's a good show.
We're on our third disc.
Yeah.
Almost done with it.
Yeah. I feel like we're...
Van Helsing.
Halfway done with the first season of Batman, the animated series. Van Helsing, bad. Hulk beats it.
Yeah.
Hulk is at least in the conversation of one of the better...
If
somebody's listening
it's
to this right now,
easily in the top 10.
It is easily in the top 10. If somebody's listening to this right now and going, "You're crazy. That movie sucked.
Watch it again.
Give it another shot." Because
I was that.
What are the main critics?
And also,
I've
tried to rewatch it recently, and it is very the year 2004.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came out.
2003. And I also think that it's ahead of its time because I remember feeling this when.
The fucking effects are amazing.
They're pretty good. Some of them are but some of them
a
hold
little
up.
Though. But it's
it's all so purposeful.
For 2003,
so impressed because it was almost by the time you get to the Incredible Hulk with Edward
Norton, Hulk looks better than the troll in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. In some shots, it's damn, they really look, man. I watched the documentary or the commentary. I'm watching the special features and the amount of care that they put into. Doing the Hulk as a CG creature, whether you like the design or not, it's irrelevant because I can understand if somebody told me, well, I don't like the design. Okay, that's fair. He's very exaggerated. The Hulk is, as opposed to when they did it in the Edward Norton movie, they made it a little bit more realistic and a linebacker and less a bodybuilder. Then when they did it in the Avengers, he was almost fat buff. Mm-hmm. He had that Mark Ruffalo gut that I love. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And, different versions of the Ruffalo Hulk to all the way to Endgame where it's it's just a huge green Ruffalo. And I thought it looked really, really good. But the design aside, the attention to detail. I mean, I'm watching this stuff and I'm this is what they talk about in ILM or Weta Planet of the Apes movies. You know what I mean? With the hair
and
the skin and the...
Get more... credit for what he does in effects anyway.
Yo, it's my favorite Ang Lee film up to this point. I need to watch the rest of them.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is... You got...
Is better.
Hector.
But
Hector.
I like Hulk more.
Sure, but Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon...
It's amazing.
The action's fucking awesome,
but
too,
But Hulk
though.
Bites a missile
and
spits
the
head
it
out.
At a helicopter. You bring about a good point. He's on the Grand Canyon, and he
great.
Spits a missile at a helicopter. He's just is jumping around with it too. And he's I gotta get rid of this.
3 years after Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Ang Lee was I'll do Hulk now. That's nuts.
I
And then 2 years after that, he was Brokeback Mountain. That's incredible, dude.
Yeah.
Those are some good fucking movies.
He's made some fucking incredible movies. And I haven't even seen like all the stuff that he made Gemini before Man, he went like mainstream.
Which is bad.
Trim and I Man. Yeah.
It was real bad.
And Life of Pi is great.
Yeah, I need to rewatch
it. It's a good movie.
I need to rewatch it.
We need to get that in 3D.
That actor, Irfan Khan, passed away. Yeah, it is. And I think maybe Adam owns it.
Richard Parker.
I think I can borrow it. Anyway, final thoughts on, let's bring it back to Eagle versus Shark. I think it was okay. And I think I'm excited for this journey.
Taika Waititi has not made a bad movie.
Absolutely. More than I can say for pretty much every other director ever. So,
suck on
that, Steven Spielberg.
Seriously. Spielberg's made some stinkers.
Absolutely.
I can't think of any
When you compare all the movies that Spielberg made since 2007 to now, no contest. Taika takes it.
Is that true?
Yeah. What has he made since 2007 to now? Let's do it. Let's compare this. Okay. Let's compare this shit. Look up Steven Spielberg filmography.
We're going to take him the fuck down.
We take him to school right now. We're going to take him all the way down to Chinatown.
Spielberg.
2007. Let me see. What came out in 2007? Minority Report. That was 06, I think. War of the Worlds, I feel like, was 04. I like War of the Worlds. I think
War of the Worlds
cool.
is good.
Yeah, well, it is good. Okay.
Actually, I like his run in the 2000s.
Okay, well, we're starting in 07 because that was Eagle versus Shark.
Because I still want to. I'm going to go over his run in the 2000s because it's pretty fucking good.
Okay, go ahead.
AI.
Hulk beats it.
No, it doesn't.
Keep going.
It does in your mind.
Keep going.
Like, it's more rewatchable.
Keep going.
For sure. Minority Report.
Hulk beats it.
Really?
Keep going.
Catch Me If You Can.
Woo, Hulk beats it.
Hulk beats it.
The Terminal?
DiCaprio.
Now, hang on. We got a contest.
And then
here.
We got The Terminal.
I love The Terminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's early Diego Luna.
Holiday Inn. What does he say? No, he goes, what is the hotel he says?
Probably that.
It's not Holiday Inn. It's like
Marriott.
No, he doesn't
say that. Beast Western.
No, he says like, oh my God, I'm going to have to look it up.
The Waldorf Astoria.
Every time I see the hotel, I say it in his accent.
Yeah.
Hilton? No, it's like Holiday
Inn.
No, I can't remember what it says. Anyway.
Munich? Great.
Wait. Yeah, that's pretty good.
But we'll start in 2008.
2007. Does he have one in 07?
No.
Okay, he took a break.
First one between 05 and 08, what was it?
Indiana Jones, Crystal Skull, Hulk beats it. And
Hulk beats it.
Tiger versus Shark doesn't, I don't think it beats it, but it's still a stinker.
They're both about the same to me, honestly.
Eagle versus Shark brain. And Indiana Jones? Yeah. What do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But let me tell you, after watching that Indiana Jones.
There's stuff to like about it,
As a young man show, I do appreciate Crystal Skull more, but Crystal Skull is a stinker. Okay, so far.
You don't love Tintin, but I think it's great.
Is that his next movie?
Mm-hmm, 2011.
Yeah, I'm still good with the Taika. Go. Yeah. What's after that?
War Horse.
Haven't seen it yet. It's
Lincoln.
For old men. Good movie.
It's good. Boring
but compared
as hell.
To,
God damn, it's boring.
Compared to Hunt for the Wilder People, I give it to Taika.
It's boring.
Go.
Bridge of Spies.
Haven't seen it.
Give it to Taika.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
It's a, got back with T.
Should
Hanks.
We do Steven Spielberg in one of these series and watch 30 fucking movies?
60.
60 movies? He does not have 60 movies.
He doesn't. Want to count?
No, I don't.
Let's
keep
go
going.
It.
Keep going after.
What is our podcast?
I just want to get to Ready Player
would
One.
Would we do Duel? So it's a
fart.
TV movie.
No. Maybe. Yeah.
I own it.
Because TV and movies, it blends to me. I
we
like
should
Star
do
Trek.
The Pilot of Columbo.
Let's
he did
do
that
it.
Too.
Let's do it. Then I'll have to do the whole first season. Go back to
Columbo's
the Spielberg
great.
Movie after War Horse. What is it?
After War Horse, we have
Bridge of Spies.
After War
it?
Horse, we have Lincoln, and then we have Bridge of Spies, and then we have the BFG.
I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it. Kids movie. Spielberg, we've talked about it.
He's good.
We owe him for what he's done for kids cinema.
Keep going.
And
keep going.
The post. Yikes.
What's after that? Ready Player One?
And then Ready Player One.
And that's his most recent?
Mm-hmm.
I give it to Taika.
I give it to Taika, too.
Without Jurassic, without E.T., without Close Encounters... Without the 90s and 80s and 70s helping Spielberg out, I give it to Taika.
But 2000s.
Spielberg still, he's doing it, man. He took a book that was very bad and really gross, Ready Player One, and made it a pretty harmless action movie for young people.
And he realized what it was, I feel. Yeah. I feel like he saw it and was like, okay, we're going to get rid of the hee.
Yeah, and Spielberg was like, well, this is what this movie should be.
For children.
Yeah, and you go, oh, okay, cool.
The book is for
men.
30-year-old men
who are white.
Yes.
But the movie, Spielberg's like, oh, what if we took this toy and put them together? Look at this cool camera angle. Bye.
What if we used everything that wasn't from one of my movies?
He's pretty great.
Did he use anything from one of his movies?
I think he did.
The T-Rex doesn't count.
No, doesn't it?
Is E.T. in it?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he did. I think there was some stuff. Did that come out in 3D? E.T.?
No, Ready Player One.
It did.
Did it?
And it's probably awesome. Anyway.
Like that.
If you have a copy of Ready Player One in 3D that you don't want anymore, email us at.
Yeah, please. 500greatestfilms@gmail.com. And we have an email this week too,
and,
by the way.
Let's go ahead and pull that up so we can wrap it up. And we have a P.O. box that you can send it to.
Oh yeah, we have a P.O. box. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I can get it to you.
It's a post office box. I know that.
Post office box. Yeah. I do want to at some point become like a collector of 3D movies, even bad ones, just to be like, yeah, but I here you go. You can look at it.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like nobody else can. Like, here you go.
That race up top is fucking awesome.
I know. That's what I want to see in 3D. That's what I want to see. What's our email, Keller?
Tintin rules for that Tintin. With the camera.
Yeah, it does. It's like dizzying. So good. I got to get you some Tintin comics, too. That's what we should be doing. We should watch Tintin and then get some Tintin comics.
We don't got to do that. I like Batman right now.
Okay, cool.
It's fine.
Take that, Tintin.
Yeah, take that fucking Tintin. Got him. Europe comic.
We're all about American comics here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rex Kwando. More American than Batman.
Batman. A billionaire.
Rex Kwando.
Beats people up.
Batman.
Yeah, it was the voice of Batman. Wow. That's right.
It's all connected.
That's right.
From Eric Lasko.
Eric.
Titled Subject. Fan mail. We have fans. Greetings to Hector and Keller. My name is Lasko, and over the last few weeks, it's been my pleasure to listen to the 500 Greatest Films podcast.
What?
Honestly, the pleasure's ours. I'm a fan of Hector from his work on Shield of Tomorrow, so when I found out he had a podcast, I was delighted.
Live long and prosper.
This led me to discovering Keller, who is similarly fantastic.
I would say I like that we're superiorly.
Both a similar flavor of fantastic. I just wanted to thank you guys for providing myself and others with a highly entertaining, funny, and insightful podcast about these movies. I have a hard time falling asleep, so apart from listening while driving and walking, I've been using this podcast as something to keep me company while I try to fall asleep.
What's Eric's last name?
Lasko.
Lasko, I just want to say right now, I hope you have a good night of rest. I hope that you are dreaming about white, puffy clouds as you fly through the sky.
Go to sleep, little Eric.
What's Eric's last name?
Lasko.
Little Lasko.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
And we'll see you next week. Morning.
My favorite episodes include the episode on X2.
Cool.
The episodes on The Incredibles.
Yep.
And the quarantine episode on Skyfall.
Mm.
Once again, thank you for your excellent work. And I look forward to more in the future. I do think you guys were a bit harsh on the humor elements of Spectre, though I do understand where you're coming from and fully agree on the commentary on Leah Sado's character. Stay safe out there. Lasko.
Love it. Lasko, thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
When Lasko said it's been a couple of weeks and Lasko discovered the thing, I was expecting it to be like quarantine episodes. Lasko went all the way back to X2, dude.
Yeah.
That was like an early episode.
Well, it sounds like he's like
going through it. Oh, my goodness.
See what he's interested in.
Oh, my goodness.
X2 and The Incredibles.
That's awesome. Yeah, Lasko, if you're listening to everything, first of all, thanks. Even if you're not, thanks, because there's some stinkers that you'll never be able to see the movie, and for you to sit through that podcast for flesh, yay.
Actually,
that was a fun
it's
one.
Worth it for Jake Jabor.
It is. Jake Jabor is great.
He's a sport. He's a real sport for watching that heap of shit.
Keller, why don't you tell everybody where they can watch the next heap of gold?
Oh, next week we are watching a big old pile of New Zealand gold called Boy on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime Video.
And it's rentable and purchasable everywhere else.
Yeah, it used to be on Hoopla. I don't know if it still is.
Okay.
It wasn't on the app.
That's true.
I own it, and you all should as well.
The Blu-ray. Cannot wait to
and
revisit
it. And it features the short film that was Oscar nominated that inspired the film.
He did in 04, 05. Mm-hmm,
before this.
Before Eagle versus Shark. We were going to watch it tonight, but we paused.
And when I do the ranking,
yeah,
that will go above Eagle versus Shark.
The short film?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And when we get to Thor, we have to watch both of the shorts he did called Team Thor that are about Thor.
Those are super funny.
They're super funny. And that's going to go in my ranked Taika films.
It should.
So they're not official canon MCU.
Well, we got to watch the...
But they're great.
Episodes of Flight of the Conchords too, then.
Did he direct it?
I think he directed one.
I think we can just stick to films on this one.
Films.
Not TV episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
I will watch the first episode of Columbo whenever we get to it. All right, y'all. Go watch
That's
Boy.
An hour and a half.
Columbo?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a movie.
That's a fucking movie.
That's a fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. One last thing.
It's great. One last
thing.
One last
thing. One last thing. Can I come over and read a
trench coat looks good
bright?
On me?
Yeah.
Do you think this is a good look for me?
Do you think if I brought a
I'm thinking of making book? About 100 billion more episodes of this show. Do you think this trench coat looks good?
When are they going to get Ruffalo? What's the show you've been watching? Perry Mason?
Perry Mason.
How has HBO not done a Columbo miniseries starring
Mainly
Mark Ruffalo?
Mainly because it's too
close
on the
to
nose.
Perry Mason.
But now Perry Mason is a lawyer man.
I don't
and
know
they
what,
need
okay.
a private eye.
There you go. They need a private
and,
dick.
And they
Ruffalo's
Mark
your guy.
Ruffalo's a HBO guy.
Yeah, man. He's been
some
on
HBO shit.
He's been on, you know, Hot Pope.
Hot Pope.
Whatever it is.
Was he on that?
I have no idea.
Sexy Pope in the City?
I have no idea.
That's
Sexy Pope in the City. Thanks, everybody, for watching Eagle vs. Shark and listening to this. Go watch Boy. We will see you next week. And that's it. Say bye, Keller. Bye.
Bye, Hector. Bye.
Bye.